Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. I'm glad you're with us for the Parables of the Passion, these podcasts that are given this Holy Week 2023, so that you can hear and consider some of the parables that Jesus told in his last week in Jerusalem. A parable is given by Christ not only as stories that engage the hearers, for indeed the Word of God is living and active and causes people to engage in that word. It's not just a bald statement, be good, obey God, follow Jesus, but he gives these parables so that we might engage in that story and ask ourselves, where am I? How have I responded to God? There are also stories given to tell people what is going on right now. The kingdom of heaven is like. So in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents begins at verse 14, where Jesus says, "For it will be a lot like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, a story like this is, first off, it has the happy or unfortunate coincidence that though Jesus tells the story of a master entrusting a great deal of money to this servant and that servant, greater and lesser amounts and according to their ability, the word talent for us is something we relate to the ability to play musical instruments, to speak, to write, to work in the woodshop. Oh, all the range of talents that there are. And I love the vast variety of human gifts and skills in crafts and industry. We indeed are blessed with many talents, though we can get confused. Is Jesus just talking about using your talents? Well, actually, he is talking about using your talents. That's usually the first thing that is to hand. But we might also say, as someone has been given a great gift, say, as the servant that is given a 5 talents, you might have 5 people in your family, and you have your influence and your help for them. You might have a church to work in, and you're in a community in which you have the blessing to be able to influence and to do. Might have 5 neighbors. All these are opportunities that Jesus has presented to us, and he is certain to tell us that this is done according to our ability. Whether we're doing great things or small things is a measure indeed of how far in grace we have come. If the first thing that you're listening to is saying, "Well, how unfair, some get 5, some get 2," well, you might ask God for more ability. Now the story progresses and people follow it very well, and they're saying in their hearts, "I know what comes next." So when the man that was given 5 talents works hard with it, he does something constructive. It isn't just a matter of investing and getting 100% return. He puts it to work, sets up a shop, and invests in some crops, something, in fields, things like that. and he has worked hard. And he comes and brings the 5 talents and more, and he has heard the we hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We might pause there. This is what your heart desires, that you would come before God, and he would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. May God find me righteous, and in Jesus I can be found righteous. I have not righteous deeds to present before God and say, this is everything that God, my master, could ever want and more. I've surprised him with how wonderful I have been able to behave. No, I'm coming with the faithfulness and the righteousness of Christ. But I also have shown myself faithful. Again, the faith itself is a gift of God, but also it is what we stir our hearts to do. There will be times and consequences. There will be difficulties and circumstances that will need us to exercise our faith, to trust the purposes of the Master, and to know that indeed he will be coming. We desire to be told, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Master. It is the ultimate disaster if we do not hear those words from God. So again, this parable, like the other two that we discussed, presents our great chance, our great opportunity. For some, our last chance, as it would seem to the people in Jerusalem. And so the story progresses on, and we hear the praise of the man with the 5 talents, and we knew what he did, and the man with the 2 talents, we knew what he did. And the question would be in the mind, well, will he be belittled? Will he be compared unfavorably to the man who had the 5 talents? But apparently the wisdom of the master is at work in all this, and he praises this servant that was given the 2 talents, who also earned 2 talents more, a total of 4 if you have been counting. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Again, it is not the size of our gifts or the greatness of our influence or whether we have made a great splash in the world or done something religious that everybody is in awe of. But God is well aware of our gifts and our abilities. What he is looking for is the response, which brings the hearers are saying, what will the master have to say to the one that brings just that 1 talent back? And then we find the servant and the master at cross purposes. The servant accuses the master of being a hard man, of gathering where he did not sow, and earning what he did not make. And our hearts cry out, the master is not at all like that. God, the creator, has given us all things. This is a servant who has set himself away from the role of a servant. We are God's created beings. We don't upbraid God for the little he has given us, and we never thank God enough for all he has given us in creation. There's a very real likelihood that even the last breath of someone who has endured great pain will be really one statement of thank you. Thank you for the gift of existence and being in your created story. But the servant is not there. He has rejected the role of the one God who created all and who has shown us what is right and called us to the path of the good, who has offered us salvation and given us grace at every turn. The master puts the servant's words back in his own mouth. You knew that I was a hard man. Then you ought to have at least done a few things. Had you no fear of this master, that he would indeed look for return. There is in this one disobedient servant, the one who hid his talent in the ground, and that is more serious than just saying, well, I know how to knit and sew or make crafts, and I should do that for so as to raise money for mission causes. This servant is indeed saying the master can require nothing of me. And indeed there are people that walk without God who resent the fact that he exists. And indeed, Martin Luther would point out that you need to understand that God is offering you salvation full and free. He's offering to forgive all your sins through Christ on the cross. If you don't embrace this, you will resent that God demands anything at all in terms of obedience or good behavior or virtue. You will come to resent that God requires anything of you, and this is exactly where this servant is. But the servant is calling us to say, well, what shall we do? Indeed, can we, if we are even given just a little, present the Lord with his full return? It looks like the Lord would be satisfied with all that we give if we are asking him for his strength and looking to him for guidance and relying upon his grace. There is a faith presented in the man that got the 5 talents and the man that got the 2, knowing that the master would indeed return, and a faith to understand how this all is presented to us. It is the master's gift, but I am his servant, and I must serve him. I mustn't hide that talent in the ground. And so, as the one who received very little, who may indeed have known that others received more, and his heart is full of resentment, we need to speak to ourselves and say, is my heart full of that resentment? Am I still fighting against God and about the circumstances he's put me in, into the body that he gave me, and the personality to which I have been grown to have? Am I fighting against God, or am I asking God for all the grace that I need? This indeed is, there's a little story that goes along with this last servant that's probably good to hear. It's called the story of the Oyster Man. John Wesley, when he was spreading the Methodist movement across England, it was a movement within the church just to bring people alive, and they set lay preachers here, there, and everywhere. Not all the preachers had been to school, but they had a heart and a fire for God. Well, there was a man who read this, and in the King James it said, "Thou wast an austere man." And the poor fellow misread it, and he got the word oyster out of it. So he preached his sermon, saying, "Thou art an oyster man." And he said, God the Father is an oyster man. He's the one who goes into the waters, and he reaches into those cold and chilly waters. And he scars his hands upon the rocks, and he brings up that oyster. And in his bleeding hands, he pries the oyster open to get that great pearl. And that pearl is your soul. God desires your soul so much, he will act as an oyster man, hurting his own self, putting himself to great, great, great troubles and colds and sufferings to bring you to him. And now a more educated preacher heard this story and said, well, it's too bad Wesley can't find anybody that can read and tell the difference between austere and oyster. But John Wesley responded, if only all our preachers knew God that well, even if they didn't know the language as well. For indeed, God is one who has gone, who has sent his son to save us. God is one who has risked his all to bring us to him. Death was endured by God. A glorious resurrection is presented by God. Power and love pour forth from heaven upon his church. He spares nothing to call us to him. All we need to see is the difference. He's not that austere man as we have accused him. He is indeed the oyster man, the one who will be in cold waters and scar his hands just to retrieve us and bring us to him. So, my friends, God loves you. His parables that Jesus told were to call us to him, to ask us to ourselves, have I responded to God? This is our great salvation that is before us, that indeed we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Put our whole trust and faith in him. He will take care of providing us with opportunities for ministry, with strength for ministry, according to how we have grown in grace. But this Holy Week, as we look to God's Son dying upon the cross, to his glorious resurrection, to being able to throw our hats in the air at Easter if we were wearing hats, and saying, death is defeated, God calls you to him because he loves you. He will receive you with the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. These are the words the soul should aspire and strive to hear. God will give you guidance along the way. He will see you into the heavenly home. May you be blessed this Easter season. This has been Pastor Harley with the Broadway Global Methodist Church, and I'm glad you've been with us for these podcasts. Be blessed.